All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
TheWordBros.com.
This episode of the Word Bros, we are talking to Rich Duick, writer of the book Word, the writer of the book Gutter Magic, and in stores right now is his Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle book, so go pick that up. My name is Bob Hello, and I am here with Kevin Cuff, as always, and we are...
The Word Warriors, brother.
No, we're the Word Bros. You can't
be the Word Warriors.
Can't do that right.
Like the Road Warriors. Like you can't play a theme song and be like, "Down."
No, we're the Word Bros.
Oh man! Yeah.
Even though we should have been the Word Tang Clan, I liked that one better.
Word Tang Clan.
But I already made the Twitter account before.
Word Bros is a joke because we're not really broy dudes.
No, we're not bros.
No, we're bros, like we love each other, but we're not like bros, like bro-y dudes. Like, well, can you even lift, bro? We're not those.
I mean, we can be.
We can joke around.
Do you even write, bro?
Do you even type, son?
Dude, that sentence ended in a preposition, bro. You can't have that. That's whack.
Oh, no, we went there. So,
too many adverbs, bro.
And a good thing about our guest today, about Rich Duick, is that he is a comics experience guy.
Yeah.
As we'll learn something today about the website that is Comics Experience, that how it will help you grow as a writer if you listen to this podcast for that. If you're listening for entertainment value, there's always me and Bob being dumb.
Right? Yeah, which is always good.
Yeah, we're good at that stuff. So, and I guess without further ado, we can get to Rich Duick.
Yeah, buddy. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Nice, nice. I am well. Thank you for asking. And do me a favor. I am really historically poor with phonics and vowel sounds. So if you could pronounce your last name for me, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my last name has three vowels in a row, so it's a challenge. But it's Rich Duick.
Duick. Yeah. I never would have got that in a million years.
I've heard them all, so you're not gonna offend me. People have been mispronouncing my name since like first grade, the teacher calling roll and stuff. So I'm way used to it.
So you're Rich Duick. Now I would be afraid to pronounce your name because you're a big, scary looking dude, and you look like you'd stomp a mud hole in somebody.
I know, right? I got that kind of Steve Austin Twitter avatar.
it is, because when Kevin was ranting and raving about you after Heroes, he was saying you're such a personable dude. He had such a nice time talking to you. We got to have him on the show. And I think we are following each other on Twitter. And I was like, wait a minute, you're telling me this guy's not a professional wrestler or B, singer of
a band?
No, what's the name of that band with the wah? Disturbed. He's not a Disturbed cover band singer. He's an actual comic book writer. That's amazing.
Well, that's the thing is, I have a friend who's a photographer, and he's you know how they shoot MMA fighters and wrestlers and stuff? He's like, I want to learn how to do that. He's like, and you kind of look the closest to that, so I want you to be my my model for this. So I was like, all right.
That's awesome.
So yeah, so we're doing the photo shoot, and he's trying to light me from the side and stuff, and he's look meaner.
Yeah, he's so nice though. So I was I've seen the picture, and I was dude, he looks like he would eat somebody. He's just looks mean. He looks he looks like he's getting ready to cut a promo. He's Word Bros.
Maybe we can have you do that at the end. We can light you your Twitter handle picture, and you can cut a Word Bros promo on us. That would be wonderful. Now, you've got a lot of stuff going on because, like I said, I follow you on Twitter, and you were talking about how you have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle book out on the shelves right now, like today.
Yeah, it came out yesterday, which is...
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really awesome. Like, I was talking to Bobby, the editor, today, and I told him, I was like, it didn't really hit me until, like, I saw it on the shelf, like, that, like, I'm, like, in my own small way, part of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles now.
Yes.
Something that I've, like, you know, read when I was, like, a teenager, and then watching the TV, the cartoon, and the movies, and all that stuff, you know. Like, I've been a fan since, like, the original comics, like, the original black and white ones from Eastman and Laird. So it was just, like, a tremendous, like, opportunity, and, like, you know, so happy to do it.
So what you can do basically at this point is you can go to Toys R Us and hang out in front of the Ninja Turtle toys, and when a kid comes up and grabs you, you're like, oh, that's all me, kid. That's all me. You want me to autograph that for you?
Yeah, sign a blister. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't care if the character was in my book or not. It's like, you know.
Now, who was the coolest Ninja Turtle character that you got to write? How many issues are you doing of this? Because it's the Ninja Turtle, it's the second Ninja Turtle book IDW is doing, correct?
Yeah, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Universe, which is kind of like a, I almost like call it like a showcase book, because it doesn't necessarily follow like the main storyline of the first book. Like, you know, sometimes they do like reference each other, but it really is kind of like a vehicle for like standalone stories. Some of them have the turtles in them. Others feature like mine features the Mighty Mute Animals, which is kind of like the like, you know, like another Spike team in the universe. Right? Yeah, like Old Hob is the guy that he's like the leader, and then Slash was a part of it for a while. And, you know, it's the team has like an interesting history, because it originated in the Archie comics run. And I think as like kind of like a way to just sort of get like more and goofier mutants in there, because the Archie title is like really more geared, like it had more of like a cartoony sensibility than like, you know, the more serious like continuity that IDW has going on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, when they brought the Mutanimals into the IDW continuity, you know, some characters crossed over and then created some new ones. And one of the cool things was that with this issue, and at this point, this is the only, it's like a one and done kind of deal. So, I'm not going to be on the title, for like the next issue, or, you know, we'll see like down the road, who knows, but for now it's just like a one shot. But, I got to bring back, one of the original characters from the Archie comics named Dreadmon, who's a, kind of like a jackal, red wolf mutant.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So like, you know, in the original comics, he had like a really kind of convoluted backstory where like, he was born in Africa, then went to Jamaica, and then found like a magic amulet that turned him into this jackal creature, which I guess technically doesn't make him mutant, or is more easily, he's like, you know, magical form or something. So, you know, it wasn't like a one-to-one thing, because it's like, we wanted to bring back the essence of the character, but kind of, bring him into sort of like the more, I would say, like, you know, more of like the vibe that IDW has going on. So,
okay,
which is a little more serious, a little more, you know, grounded and down to earth. Like, there's not, like, there are mystical elements, but it's not, you know, I never kind of looked at it as a sort of universe where somebody would pick up a magic amulet and get turned into like a Rastafarian jackal. So,
I was going to create a Rastafarian jackal, that's how I'd do it.
With a magical amulet?
With a magical like pot leaf amulet that turned him into a Rastafarian Yaman jackal dude.
We'll do it with magical radio.
Yeah, it would turn him into like King Willy from Predator 2. He found King Willy's head, and then he turned into a magical reggae jackal.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Write it down, Rick. Let's do it.
All right. It's going on the books for the next one. So, yeah. So, you know, like there was a lot of like kind of like revising like his backstory and coming up with kind of a new one. So I feel like it's a little more like serious and grounded now, you know, where, you know, I think he fits in really good. And the other two characters that we were able that are highlighted in this issue are Man Ray and Sally Pride, who are like both kind of like that were introduced in the original Meet Animals miniseries by my friend Paul Lohr.
Okay, we met Paul at a show recently. Yeah. Nice dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's awesome.
He's a Tricon.
And he's also a comic experience veteran.
He is. He's we kind of both came up through there like the same time. I think he joined like maybe 6 months before I did.
It sounds like that's the place to be if you're a young talent, you want to get seen in the industry. Comic Experience is where it's at. Now tell me a little bit about this Comic Experience, because I don't know anything about it. Kevin,
sure.
Yeah. What do you know about Comic Experience?
I know a little bit. I was on the website for like, I want to say 3 or 4 months as part of the creators, like I think it's called like a creators workshop where you do script reviews and stuff, but I didn't have time to do it because of my day job, and then I'm a single dad at night, so like trying to get on there and find extra time to critique scripts. I critiqued enough scripts to get something reviewed, and then I was like, but I just now got there after spending $90. I think I'm good. I didn't use it as much as I thought I would, so let me go ahead and hop off for a little while until I know I have the time to use it, because if you have the time to use it, I would say it's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where like you kind of like get out, like the more you put in, the more you get out of it, you know? And you know, otherwise it's like you're kind of, you know, spending the money to like talk about like why you think Wonder Woman sucks or why you love it or whatever. Right. You know, like I mean, there is that kind of like discussion aspect too. You know, because people like to, you know, blow off steam or like, you know, talk to each other about movies, about comics, about all that stuff. But, you know, the really like the meat of it is kind of reviewing your peers' work and getting your work reviewed by your peers.
That's cool. And,
that was the awesome part. I like that idea.
Yeah. And then you also like Andy, the guy who runs it. He does deals with, comics professionals, where they'll come on and they'll review scripts and they'll have like a kind of like an ask me thread, you know, so
that's
you can
awesome.
Ask them anything. And it's not like, you know, has-beens. It's like you're on there, you can ask Cullen Bunn a question, you could ask Fred Van Lente, you could ask.
I love Van Lente. He's awesome. That's
like if you're a writer, if you're an artist, you can write, you can ask Chris Sotomayor, who's like
nice.
One of the best colorists in the business.
In the game, son.
Yeah. Robert Atkins, who does like a lot of G.I. Joe stuff. And
that's killer.
For IDW. Yeah, so it's a great resource, you know. And then also the other aspect of Comics Experience is if you really want like a more structured kind of thing, they do offer a lot of classes.
That's awesome.
So there's like an intro to writing class, an intro to art, intro to coloring. And then there are some more advanced classes that kind of drill down into different topics. Like the advanced writing classes could be about like, you know, how do you structure a miniseries? How do you write characters? Stuff like that.
Okay. Is that how you got in with IDW through Comics Experience? Because that's your book that you're here to talk about is called Gutter Magic, and Gutter Magic was a Comic Experience IDW kind of production. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
Hang on. Before you go on, Rich. I'm really good at this. I just wanted to throw that out there. Did you see these segues that I'm building here? Did you see this? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just toot my own horn. That's all.
You're a professional. No, it's not fair. It's true.
Like Comics Experience has been around for quite a few years, and there was a lot of great work being produced out of there. And I think Andy had never really wanted to be like a publisher by himself. But when he started talking to a few different companies where it was like, well, maybe if we do it as an imprint where like what ultimately wound up being IDW, where like, you know, IDW has like distribution network and, you know, printing connections and stuff. So it was almost like if we, you know, has like the Comics Experience name on it and to show that, it, you know, this is like done by people who have come up through that program. But IDW is basically, you know, kind of putting their stamp on approval as well and handling all like the printing and getting it out into the Diamond catalog and things like that. So it's great.
It's one of those things that kind of make everybody look cool because it gives legitimacy to Comic Experience. Mm-hmm. And then it also, IDW can be like, hey, look what we're doing. We're giving guys shots that may not have been seen before. So it's kind of one hand washes the other thing, which is well played by everybody on that side.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good strategy.
And if you look at kind of like the premier publishers that work in the direct market, and by premier, I mean like front of the Diamond catalog, I think there's like six of them, you know, and like, there's not a lot of opportunities for you to get your first book, like in that section of the catalog. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, as wonderful publishers as like Image and Dark Horse and IDW are, it's like, you know, if you really, really look at the amount of people who just sort of like drop their first book at Image or drop their first book at Dark Horse or, you know, IDW, it's very, very small.
Yes.
So, so it was just like a great opportunity. Like Andy called me up to talk about it and he was kind of like, oh, so I don't know if you want to do it. And I was just like,
what are you, nuts?
Like, I was like, dude, like, I was ready to say yes like 10 minutes ago, you know? I was like, you really have to go into the details, like, you know? So, yeah, it was a great opportunity.
That's awesome.
And, like, you know, I think, like, you know, we did, like, Gutter Magic itself did really well and probably got in front of a lot more people than it would have, like if I had self-published it, you know, or something like that.
So then now, so with the Kickstarter you're doing, is this the continuation of the IDW thing, or is this your kind of venture with Gutter Magic into self-publishing?
This is kind of like, it's like a new thing, but it's also almost like a return to like the roots of what I was doing with it, because before I did the miniseries, I had done like just like a series of like short stories in this like universe. Some of them, actually most of them were with the main characters that were in the miniseries. But at the same time, it was just like, I was just looking to do like just an ash can, like a showcase that I could hand out to publishers at conventions. And it was just these like short stories. So when I finished the miniseries, I kind of took a step back and was thinking about what I was going to do next. And, you know, the series did well at IDW, but it didn't do so well that I thought like if I went to them and said, hey, let's do more, that it would be like a definite, yeah, of course we're gonna, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was just kind of like, well, you know, maybe I could kickstart it, but then, you know, I've never done Kickstarter before and I didn't feel like it was a great idea to kind of say like, here's volume two and here's, you know, what we need for it. And then if that kind of flops, then, and the Kickstarter doesn't make it, then, you know, that would look a lot worse than like, you know, if this Kickstarter doesn't do so well, it's like, it's some short stories and it's not like, you know, like it'll be easier for me. Like if we don't happen to make our funding, it'll be easier for me to find a way to do it than for me to do like another entire like graphic novel length work.
Okay.
So this is the reason I'm doing this approach is because, you know, like I'm still learning Kickstarter. I'm still learning the way to go. So I wanted to have something that had like a manageable goal, you know, so where I could still pay the artists well, but it wouldn't be like I'm asking for like $15,000 or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, if you're like, let's start small, you know, we'll do this. If it works out, you know, maybe do it a couple more times to like kind of get more of the hang of it. And then, you know, and then as far as like a straight up, like, you know, second season of like the miniseries or whatever, that can come down the road. But in the meantime, there is just, you know, like I'd been working on Gutter Magic for at least like 5 years before it ever got published. And I have like notebooks and notebooks full of content of like, you know, the way the city works, all the different gangs in the city, you know, how magic works, or how, you know, who's who and what's what. And I have like all this material that is just sort of like this little like trove of things that I love to go back and mine. And you know, when you're doing a mini series or any kind of like, you know, focusing on one story, it's like, you know, a lot of stuff winds up getting cut, you know, because you really kind of need to focus on the story and make sure like that story comes through, and you might not have as much time as you'd like to spend on like little side aspects. So that was like another thing, is that I just really feel like there's like a lot to the world, and it can support a lot of different types of stories, can support a lot of different, you know, types of characters. So I just really wanted to kind of explore that and expand things. And I'm also kind of one of those guys where I like to sort of have everything like fit together in weird ways. So it's like, you know, like, you know, one thing I love with like short stories is like, you know, I could like maybe go back to the Gutter Magic miniseries and pick a character in the background that was like just sitting in a bar, and was like, okay, well, you know, let's do a little story about this guy, what he's got going on. You know, I think one of the things that Brett and I talked about a lot when we were developing the art was that I was like, I told him like, I want it to feel like this is like a city that's like alive with like adventure. So it's like, we happen to be following this adventure, but I want you to be able to kind of like look at like the background characters, and like there's like something else going on there, and like almost like if it was like a documentary or something and the camera just started following that guy, like, you know, you could have like a little interesting journey going on there. So a lot of what I want to do with this Kickstarter is just sort of like, you know, put like some more meat on the bones of the universe and have it feel like a real kind of like living place that's like full of a lot of great stories.
So you said you've been developing Gutter Magic for 5 years before you even published the first one?
Yeah. I mean, because when I started writing it, you know, I hadn't really thought of myself as a comics writer. I, you know, comics were something I loved and I always wanted to write them, but I didn't really know like enough about how to approach scripting or, you know, how to go about it. So when I was, you know, thinking about writing, I thought of Gutter Magic as like, it was going to be like a novel.
Okay.
But, so I started developing it that way. When I really decided that I wanted to take up comics writing, I started taking the courses with Comics Experience and doing the workshop thing. And I was like, well, you know, there's this sort of like not even halfway finished novel that I've got lying around. And, you know, I think it could make like a great comic, because a lot of the stuff I was writing was like, you know, had a lot of like what I thought would be like spectacular visuals. So,
okay.
So I started developing that as comic scripts. And, you know,
so when you, so, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. So yeah, like I have like if anyone ever wants to do like Gutter Magic, like the role playing game or something, like I have got the source books. I just need to type them out. You
know? I like how you promote that in there, like you like segue it in. If you ever want to do a role playing game,
role playing games on Kickstarter make more money than
anything else.
It's anything crazy. Else. We're all in the wrong business here. We should be writing game manuals. It's nuts.
So do you play role playing games, Rich?
Not so much anymore, but yeah, I do. I mean, I've played them since I was, probably like 11 or 12. Like I started with Dungeons and Dragons, like a lot of people. and I still love D&D, but as I was as I got older, made a few friends in like the kind of like the indie gaming boom in like the early 2000s. Like I'm really good friends with Luke Crane, who wrote a game called Burning Wheel. That was one of like the first kind of like indie role-playing games to really take off. So yeah, I mean, not like, and the reason I don't really play that much anymore, it's more of like a time thing than anything else. It's more like,
you know, dude, I can get you in a game, bro. Just tell me.
It's like, you know, like I've got kids and, you know, it's like, you know, like getting like coordinating and stuff. But like, I love gaming.
Roll 20, son. Roll20.net's where mm-hmm. it's at. Everybody be playing on there. Yeah, I got playing yeah. two games on Roll20.net. It's awesome. Now,
oh, yeah, check it out.
We've beat around everything that is Gutter Magic. You've told us about the worlds you're building. You've told us about mm-hmm. doing it in front of viewers. What actually is Gutter Magic? What is the book itself about for those people who haven't seen the trade or the issues or anything like that?
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, so Gutter Magic, the quickest way I could describe it, it's kind of like Harry Potter meets Sin City, like in a way. It's this magical world where wizards are out in the open. The backstory is that during World War II, rather than there being kind of like this race to build the atom bomb, there was a race to control magic. Like, you know, you had wizards and magical creatures getting involved on both sides, and then Gutter Magic is the world of Gutter Magic is kind of the world that exists like in our modern time, like of like that kind of deviated timeline.
Okay.
So, oh, that's pretty awesome. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. cool. That sounds dope. I'm into that.
Yeah. So, so the way the world is now, it's like, if you're a wizard, you're basically part of the ruling class. If you're not a wizard, you kind of get by on whatever magic you can scrape together via like the potions and charms and things like that. And that stuff is what the real wizards call gutter magic, because it's kind of like, you know, kind of like this like petty low power stuff that anybody can use. So the miniseries is about a guy named Cinder who was born into a very powerful magical family, but he can't use magic at all. Like, he can't cast a spell and he has no idea why, and it's sort of like been consuming him his entire life as to, like, you know, why is he sort of like the black sheep, who's like supposed to be one of, you know, the most powerful people in the city, and he can't do anything. So he's kind of dedicated his entire life to trying to like solve this puzzle. And he eventually figures out that there's like sort of like a magical ritual out there that can help him. And he starts gathering the pieces for it. But the problem is that a lot of the pieces are being held by very powerful, and very dangerous wizards. So he finally steals the final piece and realizes that he has no idea how to cast it. And he's burned enough bridges that nobody's really going to help him, and in fact the people that he's stolen from are trying to hunt him down. So the miniseries is basically about him trying to figure out how to get this spell cast before the people that are after him catch up to him.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And if I want to read the trade for this, where can I get it? Is it on Amazon, local comic
yeah.
shops?
Like, yeah,
can I pick a thing up at?
Your local comic shop can order it. That's what I recommend, because we love our local comic shops and we want to give them the business. But if you do not have a local comic shop, or they don't have it or can't order it for whatever reason, you can get it on Amazon, you can get it on Comixology if okay. you're digital. Or if you ever see me, I probably have a copy or two on me.
I bet you do.
In a backpack, and yes. Yeah, I'll hook you up.
The Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, Ninja Turtles, the same deal. Like, it's available at your comic shop. It's available on Comixology, and I'm sure down the road it'll be part of a trade paperback collection.
All right, so I'm looking at your Kickstarter now, which you can find on Kickstarter.com. Just search Gutter Magic. It'll come right up. You've got about 17 days left once this, because this episode will be out next week. So tell us some of the rewards you have on your Kickstarter that you're offering for people. Because I see some pretty cool stuff on here.
There's really cool stuff up there.
Yeah, we got a lot of great stuff. It's a digital-only Kickstarter. The reason I'm doing that is because I'm not currently an international shipping magnate. So I figure I'm learning Kickstarter. So let me learn one thing at a time and not deal with like shipping problems and things of that. I want like you to be able to get your rewards like immediately without any hassles, because I don't want the fact that I don't know what I'm doing as far as printing and shipping goes to hold up your rewards. So we've got digital versions of the book itself and the miniseries that went out through IDW. If you're into process and things like that, you can get the scripts, you can get an audio commentary that I'm going to record, kind of going through the whole thing, talking about like what I was thinking, and just sort of telling like some stories about like, you know, the production and the creation of it. And those are like kind of like the lower tier awards. And then as we move up, we kind of move into awards that are geared towards helping creators who are interested in creating their own comic. We've partnered with Comics Experience to offer a lot of great rewards, like everything from if you want like a one-on-one phone mentorship, like an hour of phone mentoring with Andy Schmidt, who is a former editor at IDW, former editor at Marvel, you can get that. If you can get script critiques from myself, from Mark Sumerak and Molly Laser, who are both former Marvel editors, you can get online courses, you can get like trial memberships to the workshop, you know, so just like a lot of resources for people who are like looking to get into comics creation, be it writing or art or whatever it is you want to do. One of the things is like Comics Experience helped me so much that I thought it was a great way to like offer something to people who are looking for a little bit of help in that regard. We've got one thing that I see a lot of Kickstarters do that I think is a lot of fun, that if you want your face in the book, like we'll put your face in there for like one of the characters. Maybe you'll die. I don't know.
Whoa, that's always good.
but yeah, you know, because it's like you can put yourself or your friend or whoever. But that's like always a fun one. We've got some of the original art from the pinups the artists are offering up that we will actually mail out to you. And that's another thing that we're offering. We've got a ton of talented artists that have done pinups for us. So we've got like about 15 right now, and it's growing because I'm getting new stuff from people like almost every week. And it's like guys like Owen Marin, Charles Paul Wilson III, who does Stuff of Legends. Who else? Bree Jordan, Joe Mulvey is going to be doing one. So, you know, there's a lot of people. Like, I was really kind of like, really like touched about like how supportive everyone was that I reached out to. Like, you know, artist friends that I know that were willing to like do a piece. And the way that we're releasing them is like most of them are going to be released like for backers only as we hit our goals. So like there's a few that like I'm using for promotion and things like that. But then most of them are like when we hit like a certain funding level, I'll send it out to like just the backers. And backers are also getting access to like things like concept art, character sketches for the series. So you know, we got a lot of cool stuff on there. And like a wide range from like, you know, from like just the book to like, you know, the original like art for the cover and stuff like that. So
as far as Gutter Magic goes, do you have plans for it after this next Kickstarter? What does the future hold for you, Rich?
All right, well, I mean, you know, like I'm developing a lot of stuff right now, like pitching things and trying to get like, you know, more Turtles work or like whatever
yeah.
it is. But but as far as Gutter Magic goes, like let's say this Kickstarter is successful. I'm going to do another one in about like 6 months, like okay. in the fall to winter. And then maybe another one after that next year around this time. And once I have like, I'd say like three or four like solid issues worth of stuff like digitally, then I'm going to look into maybe doing like something in print where That's I'll awesome. Either take these stories and do like a trade paperback, or maybe I'll talk to IDW and maybe we can do sort of like a hardcover kind of like deluxe edition or something. That has,
oh, that sounds you know, awesome.
Hard that would be great. Yeah.
Listen to you, Mr. Deluxe Edition.
So that would be great. You know, like I don't know if they'd be down to do that, but you know, it's like you know, it's sort of like it's going to be touch and go. Like we'll see how things go. I just want to take it one step at a time for now. Just like focus on making these stories like as amazing as they can be.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, just keep doing it.
Fantastic.
What would you say is your greatest achievement besides making Ed Brisson eat grits?
That's up there. That's up
it
there.
Is. It's you pretty, know? It's pretty up
there. Yeah. I think I'd have to say like, you know, getting Gutter Magic published, not even the IDW publishing. I think like, getting that first issue published that I like did like a small run myself, you know, I printed out maybe like I think like 50 copies or something, and it was really just for me to take with to New York Comic Con and hand out to editors and other pros and things like that. Like just kind of like seeing that through is like a huge accomplishment, like just getting a book done. Because I was one of those guys that, like, for years and years, I was like, yeah, I'm a writer. What have you written? Well, I'm working on a novel. I'm working on that novel. You know, like, you know, aside from the odd short story here and there, I had, like, really, like, I had trouble, like, finishing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, really, like, just having that issue, like, and just being like, oh, what did you do?
This.
Bam.
That's I did our, that. That's something that Kevin and I have talked about on this pod, because no. once you're like you were saying, you can talk about being a writer, but nobody's mm-hmm. really going to believe you or listen to you until you can drop an issue, until you can drop a trade on somebody and go, hey,
exactly.
look, I did this on my own because this is the passion I have for this business. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. hey, man,
exactly.
I'm willing to work. I'm willing to put mm-hmm. the work in, because self-publishing comics is it's a lose-lose scenario. Like,
yeah.
you're never going to make money doing it. You're doing it strictly for the love mm-hmm. of storytelling and the love of the medium, and because you want to see your career move further, and you have to finish
right.
because no one will believe that you do anything until you finish something.
Right.
And ain't nobody reading the script, son.
Yeah, nobody's, yeah, exactly. nobody's looking at some...
nobody's got time to read a script.
Hell it's no. Like,
and like, and it's one of those things where it's like, if you like, it's much easier to convince people to like invest in you
and to work with you
if you've shown that you've invested in yourself.
That's awesome.
Like, you know, so.
So that's the yeah. best advice I think we can give, is just get things done, whether it's
exactly.
whether it's shorts, whether it's single issue stories, you know, mm-hmm. just finish things, because then people see that you can get things done.
Exactly. I would say that's something we've stressed on almost every Word Bros.
Every episode. Word Bros podcast. It's like mm-hmm. the more you know.
Yep. And my other piece of advice that I like to give people is like just sort of don't be a perfectionist. Like allow yourself to suck.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good
because I still write stuff that sucks.
Yes.
Everybody writes stuff that sucks. But it's like you can't get to the good stuff unless you kind of like plow through the bad stuff.
I told a friend of mine, this was a couple years ago. I said, I want to go back and read the first thing I self-published in like 5 years and hate it and think it's awful. And if I don't, then I haven't grown as a creative.
Yeah. I mean, right. there's tons of stuff I would change, like in Gutter Magic, like the miniseries, like if I could go back and do it over again, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to do like a, I'm not going to like, pull a George Lucas and do like, you know, a revised edition or anything. But, you know, it's like, you know, you just, you learn and you grow and, you know, but I find like one of the pitfalls you can like put on yourself early on is this like idea that like everything you do has to be great or has to be perfect. And like, it doesn't, it just has to be done.
Yes.
And you right. can do the next one that, and that'll be better and so on and so forth.
Perfect.
You grow as you create.
Exactly.
All right. Now, Rich, where can we find you on the social medias, on the Twitter machines and all that jazz?
Ah, yes. I am staked my claim to R. Dueck on most things because, you know, Dueck is such a common name.
Yeah, I needed to. Yeah, you got to really play your flag on that one.
Yeah. So on Twitter, I'm at R. Dueck. On Instagram, same thing, R. Dueck. On Facebook, it's actually facebook.com/guttermagic.
Okay.
That's, you know, it's still pretty gutter magic focused, but I do post about like my TMNT stuff and other stuff there. So facebook.com/guttermagic. But I'd say like I'm most active on Twitter. So okay. like if you want to interact, you want to drop me a line. Like I am nowhere near so popular that I ignore anybody. So okay. You say like, hey, love that, you are definitely going to get at least a thank you. So
awesome. And that's R-D-O-U-E-K at R-D-O-U-E-K. Congratulations, dude. Hopefully your Kickstarter jumps off. It's and again, the cool part about the Kickstarter is all the rewards look like they'll be out by September, so you might not be waiting forever because it's all digital. So that's cool. You don't have to wait the slow boat from China and all that shit.
Yeah, so, one of the stories is already done. It just needs to be colored and lettered, and you know that doesn't take too long. And then the other two, the artists are already working on them.
There you go. That's it.
You know. Yep.
Awesome. Well,
Rich, get on this, guys. Yes, get on this Gutter Magic Kickstarter.
And we will have links on wordbros.com, and we'll tweet all that stuff out for you. So, Rich, thank you so much for coming on. We greatly appreciate it, and good luck, sir.
Yes. Thanks for having me, guys. I had a great time.
And that was Rich Dueck.
Is it Dueck or Dueck?
Dueck. He said Dueck.
He said, it's Dueck? All right, we're going to have to go. I'm going to have to go make sure because it's too many vowels, man. There's too many vowels for me there, Kev.
There's like three in a row, like you said, man. It's like a
tic-tac-toe, baby.
The vowel nightmare is what it is.
Kill all these phonics, all these vowels. All those letters make two sounds.
So, and he was awesome. So you should go check out his Kickstarter on Gutter Magic, and
dude, he's got a Ninja Turtle book right now. I mean, that's crazy.
Who else has it? How cool is the Word Bros podcast? We've interviewed someone who writes Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
we've interviewed the Kill All Monsters.
Yeah, that book's. Have you? Let me answer me honestly. Have you pre-ordered yours yet?
I have not pre-ordered mine yet. Have you pre-ordered yours?
I'm gonna do it this weekend.
I was waiting to get paid.
I was waiting to see how I did at the show up in Ann Arbor.
And that, how did your show in Ann Arbor go, sir?
It was cool, man. We had a really good time. It was a really fun show. I tabled next to two people that were really cool. A young lady named Jess, who was selling a book about like a girl fairy who was just fucking killing it all weekend. And then this other guy named Kyle who writes a Gumball science book. You know the Gumball show on Cartoon Network?
Yes, Gumball, yes.
He writes a science book. So the two characters from Gumball, Darwin and Gumball, I guess that's his Gumball his name?
Yeah, Gumball's his name.
So Gumball and his fish, they do science experiments. They don't learn anything.
With feet.
Yes, yes. Darwin. His brother fish with
fish. Yes. Feet. But he's a cat.
Yeah, it looks cool, but Kyle was really nice, and so it was a fun time. And Ann Arbor is an amazing town. It was an amazing town. Like it's a city run by college kids. Like it's Ann Arbor, Michigan is the University of Michigan. So you've got like four blocks of like actual like city, and then you have the university. And in those four blocks, there are comic shops, coffee shops, pizza places, Indian restaurants, Mediterranean places, because there's a lot of Arab Americans there, like a lot of falafel and stuff, and medical marijuana dispensaries, and that's all Ann Arbor is. That's it.
Are you serious?
Yes, that's all it is.
Because when you're saying this, I'm imagining like John Belushi from Animal House is like the mayor, and he's like, "Let's party!" And like gets comics. And
stuff. It was pretty much like John Belushi was the mayor.
Okay, that's sweet.
It was amazing, and the campus is beautiful. Like Ann Arbor was really nice. I hope to go back next year. It was a lot of fun, man. It was cool. Hopefully, it's not the same weekend as Heroes because I got to do Heroes with my boys, because yeah. Kevin's kicking it with everybody. Him and Ed Brisson, they talking Iron Fist pitches and stuff.
I didn't pitch the man.
I know.
The bad joke. We were just talking Iron Fist fandom, and we happened to be fans of the same thing. So it was an interesting conversation. But Heroes is always fun. I don't think I've ever not had fun.
It's because you didn't go when Drew was a nobody.
You'd be hating me on that. You've been hating for years now. Like for 3 years, I've been getting.
We were both nobodies back then, son, and it was terrible.
I mean, I did go to the sections that nobody like hits in Heroes, just because it's the people that look like they're reconsidering their life.
Yes.
Tables. I went to those tables so they didn't have to look like that, and I would see what they had to offer. I think I bought something from one of them, but I'm not sure. I don't remember. Like Sunday was like a haze for me. It was bad. Sunday was bad. I was
just talking too much Iron Fist, son.
I was talking too much everything the night before. I was talking too much mead. That's what I was talking about. The mead is killer. Thank you, Thor. It was crazy. Heroes was a great time. Everybody's super nice at Heroes. I would recommend that con to anyone who loves comics.
Yes. Anybody who loves art. Like, it's not... Yes. Like, Heroes is the coolest art show in the entire world, minus the free wine and cheese. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. I would agree with that, too, because you can see someone drawing something. Like, I watched Daniel Warren Johnson draw, and he put this, like, this piece. And for those of you who don't know who Daniel Warren Johnson is, look him up. He's just an amazing artist. He was sitting next to Stephen Green, who was sitting next to James Heron. So it's like a triple L of, like, awesome fucking art. So I had to, like, stop and watch what everybody was drawing for a second. What he was doing amazed me, because I've never seen it before. He took like this piece of, I don't know what it would be, and he like cut it out and laid it over what he was doing, and then he was like scratching into it for texture. It was amazing. I was like, that is just crazy. Like, how would you think, like, because as writers, we don't think like that.
No.
Like, I think visually, but not in that sense.
No, not at all.
Like in a texture way or anything. It doesn't come to my head like that. It comes to my head in like pictures, but they're still, and they don't look like when you get your final art on a comic book, guys, if you guys are writing comic books out there, listening to Word Pros, like you're going to think it's going to look way different than what it looks like when you get it. But the good thing about that is 98% of the time, whatever you get is going to be way fucking better than what you imagined in your brain. Yeah,
it is.
It's like fucking Christmas times five. You're like, oh my God, it's crazy. I can't even explain the feeling. The first time you get art back, you're like, because you're like, hey, I kind of did this stuff. Like, I kind of halfway made this with somebody else. Like, and when I say halfway, I mean, you only feel like you halfway did it because the art's like crushing it at that minute. You're just like, oh my God, this is amazing. So I can't explain the feeling to you until you do it. But watching somebody else do that, I was like, my mind is like, it just exploded inside my head like three times. And I was like, I don't even know how you'd imagine to put that on there.
Have you seen his Star Wars stuff?
Daniel Warren Johnson? No, yes. I haven't seen it.
He does some Star Wars stuff. If it's the same guy that I follow on Twitter, let me look just to make sure.
He writes the book Extremity.
Yeah, Daniel Warren Johnson. I want to say he does really great Star Wars commissions. Like, really great Star Wars commissions.
He did a commission of the Iron Giant that's on Twitter. That's fucking just incredible.
Yeah, that guy's a beast, dude. I follow him on Twitter, and like a Space Mullet. Yep, he does.
Yep.
Dude, just go through his Twitter feed and just look for some of his Star Wars stuff. It's crazy. It's crazy good. This guy's amazing. So that's
I was awesome. Watching him draw. That's who I was watching draw. And he was super fucking nice. Yeah. I was like, is it okay if we watch you draw? He's like, sure, man. I don't care.
Yeah, most of the dudes at Twitter are super nice. It's just, I mean, excuse me, most of the dudes at Heroes are amazing. It's a wonderful show. Rico and Sheldon and the entire staff over there just kill it. I mean, it is the comic art show on the East Coast by far. Like, it's just amazing.
And I'm going to say, we go with you know, when I'm there, I'm usually there with our friend Drew, who was on a previous podcast.
Drew Moss, you know him, baby. You love him.
You know Drew Moss. You know him, and you love him.
He's great.
And we go and hang out, and not only do we do that, but, like, when we're there, we're talking and stuff like that. But the cool thing about being at Heroes is, like, you don't think that you have that much of an impact as, like, the first year I went, I was a pseudo writer slash fan more than anything else. I wasn't quite a writer yet. The first thing I had written was being worked on and it wasn't done. So I was in that boat that we talked about earlier.
Yeah. So you were like rich, like, oh yeah,
I write. But people are like, yeah, right, whatever, you know, until you get your first thing out. Then the next year I went to Heroes, we had published Elvis.
Yes.
Elvis. So I had something and they're like, oh, you do write. So it was a little bit one up. And then this year I had Fredo and had some Oathbound. So they were like, oh, you really write. Oh, you fancy, huh? So that's how that went.
You big time. So that's what I'm saying.
That's not me. That's you.
Now you're rubbing elbows with Mr. Ed Brisson and all the finest Canadian writers and artists in the world today. That's awesome. I mean, I think it's great.
Ed Brisson, just remember, okay.
That's a good dude. That's what it is. We met Ed.
That's a really nice guy.
We met Ed at Tri-Con, West Virginia, two years ago, and he was just a genuinely nice dude. And some guys are just like Matt Rosenberg is another one of those dudes that are just genuinely
super nice. And Matt Rosenberg is probably my favorite comics writer. Yes,
that guy's a fucking beast, and I want to have him on the show so bad. But I just, the only thing I'd be afraid of, I know Matt's really good at stuff like that, but the only thing I'd be afraid of is it would just be you to go, dude, you're so awesome, dude. You're so awesome.
We would do that. Yeah. I'd be like, so I don't have a question. I just want to say, like, We Can Never Go Home was the best comic I read. Dude, like, last
year. I haven't even read that one. I've read his Kingpin stuff, which I really dug a lot. And
I read the first one. I have the second one too now.
Did you read the first mini that he did? The first Kingpin mini he did during the Civil War II? That was really good too.
I read Kingpin number one and I loved it.
Yeah.
He gave me number two and then he also gave me Secret Warriors.
Okay. Now that was nice of him. I like the Four Kids Walk Into a Bank just crushes me in every way, shape, and or form.
Like, I didn't read that because he didn't have the fifth issue out yet, and I asked him if he had it, and he goes, it's coming. He's like, I hate to sound like that because, like, this is where the problems come in. Like, he's like, you know, it's almost out. He's like, the trade should be out in July. He's like, if everything goes to schedule, he's like, so you know,
it's
you
great.
Have it all then, but I have them all here besides the fifth one. If you want to get them, I was
it's
like,
great.
I have,
it's so,
I have the first issue. I don't have anything else because
Kevin, it's so good.
I know Robert told me, like, and the crazy thing is, like, we met last year, and I convinced Robert to buy his book, and he remembers that. So the funniest part about it was like, you know, hey, I just want to give you this. Bobby and I wrote it, and he's like, oh, Bob France, I know Bob. Yeah. He's awesome. Yeah, and he's totally read it. Take a comic. Pick anything you want off the table. I was like, I kind of just wanted to get the other Kingpin. He's like, you know what? He's like, take a Secret Warriors with your Kingpin. I was like, no, actually, it gave you one comic. He's like, I don't care.
I just want to be near you.
I was just like, I just want you to, like, rub on me so I can get some awesomeness.
So I can get some super talent. Yeah, that guy's the beast, dude.
Yeah, he is. He's great, too.
Yeah, he's my favorite guy working in comics. We got to get him on the show because he kind of knows me, which is cool.
which means you big time, son. You big time.
It ain't like that, son. It ain't like that. But he kind of knows me. Like, he's nice to me on Twitter and in person, which is rare and cool.
So, I guess that concludes this episode. Yeah,
thank you for Rich for coming on. Go buy his Ninja Turtle book that's out now. Support his Kickstarter. Just search Kickstarter. It's called Gutter Magic. Give him a couple bucks. He'll get some stuff by September, and you'll be good to go, baby. So we are the Word Bros, and we'll talk to you guys next Wednesday.
New comic day.
Yeah, buddy.
Do it, Joe.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.